At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one, with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anonymous, a podcast about board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
Hey, and this is Anthony.
And this is episode 503, our holiday gift guide for 2024. We like to thank all our Patreon backers for helping us bring you a brand new episode. Hello, friends. We are back. And of course, it's the holiday season. Or at least the purchasing season of the year.
Yeah. I'd say at holiday, schmoliday, buy stuff. Woo!
Woo! Capitalism, buddy!
I know. Yeah. It's always like, it's a full week before Thanksgiving, and I'm always like, oh, it's Black Friday now. Okay. We're doing this.
It's funny how Black Friday was a day, and then it was a week, and now it's like a month.
Remember when you had to go and wait in line and do stuff?
You remember when you had that one day on the online board game site that would crash like 20 times?
I remember being at my desk like the next morning. Like I didn't take the day off because we weren't doing anything. And I'm just like refreshing because no one's in the office, just me. I'm like, refresh, refresh, refresh. You're texting me like it's crashed. I'm like, I know, it sucks.
You get just to that point. I've lost so many sales that way.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah. I don't know how people do it. Well, now the sales are terrible, so it doesn't matter.
It is. Isn't that so weird that there's more sales than ever before, and they're all terrible?
Yeah, yeah. They're colluding, man.
Most of the times it's not sales, and especially with the online board game companies, which there are a lot less. I mean, Cool Stuff Inc. dropped out, and then there was Game Surplus. There was a couple of companies that dropped out. So really, it's only like Miniature Market and Game Nerds at this point. Forgive me if I'm missing anybody else. There's Boardtopia. Our friend Jason at Boardtopia with his game site up there as well. Definitely recommend checking them out. They support Board Games for the Better, our friend Chris's charity out there. So there are still a couple things out there, but it used to be like, hey, we need to clear everything out. And now it's like, hey, remember that game that was like $95? It's now $94.
Yeah, yeah. Or remember that game from 9 years ago that nobody liked? You want it for $10? Eh?
I like when there's a sale and it's like on sale for $10 and then it goes back up to like $70 and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. Come on.
Yeah, like it didn't become a different thing. You know,
yeah, right. It's still the same cardboard. You're willing to get rid of it for $10, so just do it.
Yeah. And Amazon has been a monster. They've just just everywhere. They're running sales around the clock too. So
yeah.
It's a thing. What are you gonna do? Well, nonetheless, we have a great episode for you. We are gonna be giving you our holiday purchasing picks, whether those purchases are for you, for a loved one out there, for a fellow gamer at the game table, and you want to pick out some stuff that might be great for them based upon what particular group or cluster they might fall into. We have some great recommendations for you. But before we get into our feature review, we have a lot of things that's going on because, again, it's the holiday season.
So we're really freaking busy.
Yeah. First up, I'll just mention something really quick. Our friend Game Master Dave, he's putting on his annual Fat Dog, which means the Friday after Thanksgiving Day of Gaming. So if you are in the Long Island area and are looking for something to do on the Friday instead of doing a Black Friday, go out, play some games. Dave is an amazing teacher. And you can find out more information about the event at Dave's email address, dave@gamemastergames.com.
I honestly, like, he sent this, I'm like, that sounds fun. Wait, that's what I'm already doing.
What?
I don't have to leave Philadelphia. a friend in the area is doing a Twilight Imperium game on Black Friday, which is just, it's perfect. So perfect. I'm so excited.
All right. So if that's not Fat Dog, what word are you coming up with then?
I don't know. Twilight Imperium. It's great. TI4 Friday.
TI4 Friday. I like that. That works.
That'll be a lot of fun. And Dave's awesome. If you want to learn a game, he's the guy to learn it from.
Absolutely. Also, another really quick shout out to our friend Kenneth out there. He did a really amazing job. There's a great website called ageofranks.com. All one word, ageofranks.com. And he goes and collects all the big media people in tabletop industry, their top 100 games of all time. And he has an amazing, just amazing amount of data from every kind of podcaster, video, YouTube people, TikTok stuff out there, gets all their top 100s, puts them into some major data processing, and then pulls out some amazing graphs. And what's really fun about this is it allows you to get a sense of all the media people out there, what types of games they like, and maybe you could find some other people out there that, you know, like the same stuff you do. So I'm up there, Anthony's up there, and everyone, our listeners from our top 100 games of all time on episode 501, you're up there. So you could see how you rank against everybody else out there in the board game media industry.
Yeah, it's funny though, because he's got the little spider graph.
Yeah.
And all three of us, like me, you, and the listeners, it's like a little bit here, a little bit there, and there's like a sharp line straight to strategy. Sharp line. It's like an arrow shooting off the side. You compare it to literally anybody else, and it's like, oh yeah, we're not super balanced, are we?
we have a vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you're listening to this and you don't know the vibe, you soon will know the vibe because it is our vibe. So.
And it's a lot of, I mean, even the top 100, that's the same vibe.
Like you said, with you, me, listeners, all of us, yeah.
Yeah, right down the line, like right in that area.
No party games, no dexterity games.
A little bit of the light, a little bit of the war, a little bit of thematic, but medium heavy Euro?
Yeah, almost completely. Which, my list is probably like 85 to 90 strategy games and then a handful of other things that I think are cool. So, this is a great site. So it's awesome.
Yeah, ageofranks.com. Check it out. All right, Anthony. So that's what's going on with our friends out there. Why don't you give us an update on what's going on with you? You're doing some podcast stuff out there as well.
Yeah. I'm getting around. So I was recently a guest on Beyond Solitaire. It's our friend Liz invited me on to talk about board game academics and my career teaching, and as well as Board Gamers Anonymous and all the things we've done. So it was a great conversation, and the episode just went up, episode 177. So you can check that out on all of her channels, including on YouTube, because it was on video. So you
can see me.
Yeah. if you can't get enough of this face, you can check that out. It was a blast. And I love Liz's show. It's great. She does a lot of interviews with people in academia and history and research. She now works in that space as well. So it's just really cool to kind of hear all those different perspectives and to be part of that too, the conversation around, you know, how can games be more than just games? It's awesome. So yeah, big shout out to Liz for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Yeah. I haven't listened to it. I'm going to check it out. All right. Well, Anthony, that's what's going on with you. What's going on with us out there?
Yeah, we got more announcements. Let's run them down. PAX Unplugged is in a week and a half when you listen to this. So, like, 9 days. Get in there. We are going to be presenting two different panels at the event. So make sure, if you are at PAX Unplugged, that you stop by and see us on Saturday. We're going to be presenting our panel on engagement teaching with board games. So this is a discussion of, like, how all three of us have used board games in the higher education and just education settings in general. So how I design my class and how Will uses RPGs in his therapy, and how Chris, how you've used them in the counseling center. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's on 2:30 on Saturday. So I'm not counseling. Will is counseling center.
And I'm career.
Career, yes. Yeah. I did mean career, and then
that's okay.
Late enough that I conflated the words. But we'll be talking about all of that at our 2:30 panel on Saturday. On Sunday, we're going to be... Oh, well, I'm not going to be doing anything. Chris is going to be running a panel with a lot of our friends to talk about accessibility in gaming and what that looks like and how we can and just generally do better. So I know that's a lot of fun, and we're very excited to have that one going.
Yeah, I'll be there from Board Game Academics, along with Will as a guest host. We'll also have Chris from Board Games and the Better. You've heard him as well. Derek from Namavore Games, Josh from VGC USA, Brianna from SLP Literacy Corner, and then our buddy Joe from Guardians Mental Health, who we've also talked about in the past, and he's been with us on panels previously. So two really great panels, a lot of great people, and a really good opportunity to meet you all out there. So if you want to know where we are at PAX, those are the two best times to find us.
Yeah, yeah. And we're obviously there the whole rest of the time. So if you wander, especially on Friday, you'll probably run into us, because we also wander.
We circle.
Yeah, yeah. We can wander into each other. It'd be great.
Yeah, and both panels are great because both panels are all about learning how to utilize tabletop gaming in ways that brings more people to the table. So if I can ever be a thing out there, I want to be a force for bringing more and more people to the table. So these panels will allow you to do that, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. So yeah, make sure to check us out there. Our other big thing we're doing right now is we are recruiting for Victory Points, Uniting Voices Across the Table, our new essay column going up on Board Game Academics. So this is a monthly or more column where we're going to be highlighting scholars, professionals, or enthusiasts from throughout the board gaming space. From diverse communities within tabletop gaming. So we're looking for unique, unfiltered perspectives. Don't necessarily need to be an academic, but we want to know your experience and how games have played a role in diversity in your space. So you can check that out on boardgameacademics.com/essay-submissions. Mm-hmm. This is rolling submissions. It's not a set time. So if you have something, you have an outline, if you have an idea, if you want to run it by us, please. Check out the webpage there, and you can see all the different ways to submit it. This is also a paid opportunity, so we are paying people for their work to post onto the website. And you know, we're very excited to be having our first couple going up hopefully very soon. So check that out. Sponsored by Game Pathways. So big thank you to Game Pathways for making this happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can't wait to hear everything that you have to say about tabletop gaming.
All right. And then one last announcement, which kind of goes with another thing. We are on Blue Sky now, so check us out at BG Anonymous and at BG Academics. Those are both up.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also looking for help with managing the Blue Sky and the YouTube and the Instagram and all the things, all the places we happen to be. So we are looking for somebody who can help us out, and, you know, on every now and then basis as a community manager. So that would be, you know, making sure with stuff goes up and it gets posted and comments get replied to, and we're just building community out there with everybody. So if you are listening and you're like, I do that, or I would love to help you guys out, we would love to hear from you. So just reach out at anthony@boardgamersanonymous.com, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, the more the merrier. It'd be a big help to bring the community. And again, Anthony, I'll say it again. Bring more people to the table.
We're doing it. More people to the table.
More?
That's a really big table, man. like a Viking table. We're going to have to get some like weird shaped food to feed everybody.
It's a holiday season, man. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Little polyomino food. We're going to make it happen. At the Viking long table.
That's right. And then you flip the food over to the other side and it's a completely different food.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you flip that food and it becomes cloth and you can't eat that, but it's worth more money. It's okay.
And for some reason, the table is just a negative space.
Right. Yeah. You lose points if you don't have that cloth at the table.
That's so right.
Get on it. Yep. This all makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
people are following us.
They are. They get it. They get it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great stuff coming up. And again, thank you so much for listening, for following. Our YouTube is up. We're up at 949, still pushing to hit the 1,000 on it. I know we don't do many videos, but maybe we will more in the future. And again, as Anthony said, we're on Blue Sky now. So I'm on there. Anthony's on there. The podcast is on there. And the Academic Journal is on there as well. So if you're on there, join us on there.
Please do.
All right, Anthony. So that's everything that's going on with us and our friends out there. Again, by the time you listen to this, if you are in the U.S. or if you celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving from us to you out there as well. Hopefully you're getting some great games to the table, like Anthony or like our friend Dave out there. All right, Anthony, let's do it. Let's talk about the games that we want to get to the table, ideally during the holiday season, our acquisition disorders.
All right. So I want to talk about a game that's actually not new.
What?
But it's an old game that I had a chance to play 5 years ago with a friend back in Pittsburgh that I had never heard of at the time and I haven't seen since and I'd forgotten about, but now it's up on GameFound. So that's when we talk about stuff. Sure. Hey, it's back. It's called Hands in the Sea.
Oh.
You ever heard of this one?
I have not heard of this one.
Yeah, I hadn't either before. So this is designed by Daniel Berger, and the original version was not the prettiest thing in the world. It was what it was. But it is a deck-building war game about the Gaelic War. So it's the fight between the Punic War. Sorry, not the Gaelic War. What's wrong with me? I know. Between Rome and Carthage. So this is the big, you know, nearly 20-year or nearly 30-year epic naval battle between Rome and Carthage back in the olden times. So it's a war game. Yes, but it's also a deck building game, so it's a lot more like Eurocentric in terms of like how the game works. And I was wary to play it because 2-player only war games, if it's not Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, I'm like, I don't know. But I had a really great time with it. At the time, though, when we played it, I learned it was out of print. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go hunt this down because I have a bunch of 2-player games. It's fine. But our friends at Phalanx, who have done an amazing job of bringing these old out-of-print war games back, so like Hannibal and Successors, are now running a campaign on GameFound. Now, this campaign has been running for a little bit, so when you hear this, it will be nearly over. I think probably have a day or so left. It is set to end right before Thanksgiving. But it is a very pretty miniaturized version of Hands in the Sea. So you get a miniature set that just all the little pieces that you're going to put out on the board. And there are a lot of them. So you get some texture to the board, which is great. The game does it's not a fully card game because it is a war game. Obviously you're working with the space. So it's almost got like a feel between a mix between like a Command and Colors type of system, but also like a deck building element on top of that, where the cards are driving what you're doing. So it's really interesting in that way. As with all Phalanx games, you have your regular pledge, you get the game, a couple things, or you can go all in and you get the game and the metal coins and the playmat and all the good stuff. I can say from having backed a few of their games, really, really solid production levels, just beautiful, beautiful games. It's expensive because these things are always expensive, but it's not stupid, stupid expensive. It's like $120, which is a lot. But you can also opt for $75 for just the regular full version of the game. It's great. I haven't played it in a while, and I don't recall if I even reviewed it on the podcast here. I think I played the one game with a friend, and it just hadn't gone back to it because we didn't play it for a little while, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's COVID, and you know, we're obviously not going to play it anymore. So I did back this because I had a lot of fun with it. I like two-player back and forth games. I like war games when they're like non-traditional in terms of mechanics, because that back and forth tug of war mechanic is a lot of fun. Deck building games in general, when they throw in a different type of genre or approach to mechanics, are a lot of fun. And Phalanx makes just quality products. So I am super interested. So yeah, check it out. It is up on GameFound again, probably for like another day when you hear this, but it is looking good. Hands in the sea.
Yeah, I think that's the other challenge these days too, is with all the different crowdfunding sources, that it's very difficult to find where everything is.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Like I honestly didn't see this until like yesterday.
Sure.
And it's the kind of like I've played the game, I've logged it.
Yeah.
You'd think the ad would pop up for me or something, but it didn't.
Sure.
Like I saw it in the hotness when I was prepping for the episode. I'm like, oh, Hands in the Sea is back. That's a new cover. Great. I'm excited. So
no, it's great. Yeah, no, I'm glad they're bringing it back. I actually even saw Tales of the Arabian Nights, the 40th.
I did see that, yeah.
Anniversary edition, which has been out of print forever.
Yeah. So. Which is a great time, because people are thinking about it with Arthurian Legends coming out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny how they're basically back-to-back. I'm not sure what the company was thinking, as far as that's concerned. But yeah,
different companies, I think, probably.
Yeah, but somebody had to give somebody rights for a thing.
Right.
So... But no, this is great. I'm excited. I hope I get a chance to play this.
Oh, yeah, well, it's two players and I'll have it, so we will play it.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a war game, but it's not like a war game. So it's fun.
It looks like a tiny war game. It's tiny.
It is, yeah. There's a map and there's little bits that you're putting out to control the spaces, but really it's all card driven, which I love me some card driven tactics, but like mm-hmm. the deck building on top of that where you're pulling in new cards from the market, it's just... You're building up your tactics in a way that your opponent can kind of see. That's such a cool idea.
Very nice. All right. Speak about games that are kind of many older games that are back. I've been hotly anticipating this. We've had seen this last year. It's on BeckerKit, another crowdfunding source out there. This is Defenders of the Realm Legends Edition. This is the new Defenders of the Realm. From Greater Than Games. This is from Richard Lanius, or a new version of his original game that I love. It's been my top one game of all time way back when. It's been up there quite a while. I think I retired it this year. It's been in the Hall of Fame. And Defenders of the Realm, if you have not played it, we've talked about in the past, it utilizes a pandemic mechanism in which you play one of these kind of classic, I guess, fantasy characters, amazing artwork from Richard Lanius. And as these giant monstrous generals kind of tower into Monarch City and all the minions spread, again, think pandemic, four viruses and then how they spread, you are fighting back and you're doing all the heroic things. And each character is very unique, has very individual kind of powers and plays very thematically. Well, at one point, there was supposed to be a second edition, and we heard this from the owner of the company himself, and that did not happen.
Nope.
So this happened, and it's kind of cool. Have not played it. Did see it at one of the conventions. Me and Anthony kind of circled around a little bit. It is definitely a different take on the game. It has more of a cartoony anime family-friendly look to it, and there are four characters that you could play as, and again, they're fantasy tropes, kind of play as again. You got the map, you have the central city that you're defending, and you have the four different bosses that are coming in to destroy, along with all their minions, and of course, your job is to defend the city and deal with all the minions as they kind of grow and spread out. So you have to keep their spread down, of course. Game's broken into different phases. You know, you're doing different things where you're setting your characters out, then the bad people go. And then, of course, in this version, there's a darkness tracker. And that darkness tracker kind of builds up throughout the game. So the more actions you take, the more darkness is in the world. and you're basically defending against all the minions. Campaign's up. Backer kit, I gotta say, I don't know if it's backer kits specifically, but the page is a little bare, to be honest with you. I watched a couple of the videos. I was like, okay, still doesn't give me a lot to kind of go on. It's pretty just like, hey, this is going to be fun. It's an adventure. Really not a hard breakdown. Obviously not a review whatsoever, but previews don't really hit me. The game itself is 150, but that doesn't include all the extra stuff that typically you would buy with this game, including the upgraded minions, which now is going to set you at 270. And then there's the extra stuff that typically people get as far as coins and other stuff that comes along with the game. That's 350. And if you want the giant miniature that plays in the game, that's 450. Yeah. So at some point I was 50 out of it. So I was quite excited about it, but it is quite expensive for a game that I mostly own. So I am excited. Hope I get a chance to play it. But expense wise, it's up there, man. It looks good. Miniatures are good, but yeah.
Yeah, it does look good. It's funny. I don't know what it is about this particular art style, though. It just looks kind of flat to me.
I agree.
It looks like a mobile app.
It does.
Is that what I'm like? Okay. Like, I was like, there's a vibe here I'm not digging. And I think it's that. It looks like the kind of mobile app you'd see an ad for on Facebook.
Yes.
I've played the game. The game's brilliant, but like, the art style is not. It's putting me away. Putting me off a little bit.
There's been a lot of comments about that on Board Game Geek, and Richard Lani is like one of, if not the greatest, artists of all time when it comes to that fantasy high art Dungeons and Dragons kind of stuff. Like this game was never going to be able to follow that. What you said, Anthony, is true. What I am surprised by is the art style they went with. Because, again, it is very flat, very, I wouldn't say simple, but it doesn't feel like a thing. Like, it's not hardcore anime. It's not some cell shading kind of deal. It's not realistic. It's not cartoony chibi. It's
inoffensive is what it is. Like, they're going for, like, it's not gonna bother anybody, but by doing that it's not really capturing anybody either.
Yeah, like in the original Defenders of the Realm, you have the undead, you have the demons, you have the dragons, you have the orcs. And that was that's an old version of the game, and it's very cool. This has like the minions are like one of the minions is Vile Growth and it's mushroom people.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's not cute enough to be chibi, like cutesy kind of stuff, but it's not menacing, threatening. I agree. Like, I don't know what they're going for here.
Yeah.
So
hard to say. So I will say though, like professionally, having worked, like I do marketing for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not teaching, and I have worked with BackerKit, and I've worked with GameFound, and I've worked with Kickstarter.
Oh wow,
BackerKit is the least feature rich or interesting of any of these platforms.
Sure.
So I just don't even know that you could do more with this. I don't know. And it's been upgraded recently, but it's not.
It's pretty bare, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And I think this is just what their platform looks like.
Sure.
So this is what you do with that space. I don't know if that's part of why they're struggling to hit their goals, but
they're not there. And no. Greater Than Games is a really good company, and they typically do a really good job with their games. And even if their art style is a little different in some cases, like Sentinels of the Multiverse is kind of a thing. And I don't hate it, but it's its own thing.
Right.
So, but I also even think with the videos here, like I would have liked a more game explanation, like playthrough a little bit. And there's just, that's not really here either. So yeah.
Like, what does this actually play like compared to the original game?
Yeah. And I think a lot of us do own it, or maybe you own the post-apocalyptic version, or maybe you recently purchased the Freedom 5 version, which is, I think, also by Greater Than Games, which is, again, the Sentinels of the Multiverse version. So I didn't get a vibe of how it plays fully from the videos or from the page. And that kind of was like, that coupled with the price was like conceptually, this is something I would 100% back without even looking at it. But both of those things is kind of holding me back. So
yeah.
maybe it'll be a PAX. Maybe we'll get a chance to play it.
That'd be cool.
All right. Well, there you go. There are acquisition disorders. Hopefully we get those things backed. Hopefully we get those things to the table.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Anthony, now on to our feature review. Our feature review, of course, this week is taking a look at all the games that we've played this year, getting a sense of who's naughty and nice, and making some recommendations to all our friends out there. So maybe these are good for more people at the table.
Yeah. This is our gift guide. We do this every year. And the goal of the gift guide is not to tell you the best games of the year, because we're going to do that in a few weeks, right?
Yes.
The goal of the gift guide is, what is a game that is ideal for this particular type of person in your life, right? You are getting a game for children. You need a good family game. What is a good family game that is currently available, right? So it's not out of print. It's not crazy expensive. It's not Kickstarter exclusive. And it's something that you're going to have fun with and they're going to appreciate as a gift, right? These are things that you can give as good gifts. So that's how we try to think through it. This is not like, you're not going to have stuff that's out of print here. You're not going to have stuff that's hard to find or it's ridiculously expensive. But they're all good games, too. And some of these games might be on our end of the year list. Mm-hmm. Some of them might not. But we do love all of these and we've played all of them. So that's how we build our list every year. And it's fun. It's a good way to kind of just get some ideas going into the holidays.
Absolutely. So what do we have up first?
All right. The first category, ironically, is the least likely to be a gift. But you can gift people games on Steam. This is our app selection. So these are the digital versions of games that we recommend sharing with your friends and family. Chris, what do you have on your selection?
Well, I, and I'm sure you, Anthony, we both have really enjoyed Direwolf's games recently. Obviously, Dune has made a big splash, great production. They did the thing that they needed to do, which is take the board game and put it on the screen. That's a note for all your designers out there that are putting board games on a screen. Take the board game and put it on the screen. That's it.
Don't reinterpret it.
No.
Don't change it.
No, please.
Don't alter the layout.
No.
I'm looking at you, Castles of Burgundy. What the heck is that stupid, ugly thing you did?
Lorenzo, you know.
Okay.
Oh.
Lorenzo's so far off the deep end. I don't even want to talk about
that's,
it anymore.
That's, yeah.
Oof. Ugly.
Yeah. So I was really happy and excited to see that Clank is on Steam, and it came out late October, and it looks like, again, a great job from Direwolf Games. It's a perfect adaptation, again, utilizing the board, along with a little bit of animation that goes along with it. So I think they've even taken a step up from Dune, because it's a little animation on the board itself. But again, Clank, deck building, and then a bit of a race to press your luck, to pick up treasure, and then run it out. And as, of course, as you're running in and running out, you're making noise, which awakens the dragon, and then the dragon wants to eat everybody. So you're trying to collect as much stuff as you can and get out as quickly as possible before everything goes to heck. So, good game, good production on Steam now. Again, if you don't own the board game, this is a great adaptation. $22.99, not a bad price. And knowing Steam, could go less. It's out now.
Yeah. We got end of the year sales coming up. It will be cheaper.
And even sometimes with the Humble Bumble things, those things are like, hey, here's every tabletop game up there for like a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're due for a Dire Wolf Digital batch of games because they're doing a lot lately.
Yeah.
Like they've done a few in the past. And the irony here is they've done a bunch of other games, but Clank is one of the games that they developed.
Yes.
Right.
So they own.
Yeah. As a board game. For like it's a weird little circle that they have. But yeah, this is great. Mine is also a Dire Wolf Digital production.
Ooh.
And it's in early access, but you can still buy it and you can still gift it. And that's what's important. And I've played it many, many times already, and I have not run into a single bug yet. So They call it early access. It's like version 0.1, but it's great in my opinion. And that's Cascadia.
I've heard of this game.
Yeah, we got a nice digital version of Cascadia is up and you can play it, and it is awesome. I'm actually tempering how much I play it because I really, really love this game, but you can get through a game digitally in like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm like, whenever I get to that point, I'm like, this is going to ruin the tabletop version for me if I just sit here and play this like 40 times. So I'm trying not to do that. But there are a few other cool things that they've mixed in here too. Like you have like, you know, scoring challenges, and AI version modes and all sorts of cool stuff just to mix it up. So. I'm digging it a lot, but this is a fantastic game to share with pretty much anybody who like, maybe they like board games, maybe they don't, maybe they just want something nice and chill. Mm-hmm. The multiplayer version, of course, you can play with your friends. It's Cascadia. You draw a tile, you draw, an animal, you place them somewhere in your tableau. You try to meet these scoring objectives. It's just, you know, elegant, simple fun. And this is a very good implementation of that. So, well worth checking out. To hand off to a friend or family member.
Very nice. Like it.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of those family members, we got family games. So these are the games that you would buy for the children, for your, you know, nieces or nephews, your friends' children, or just for maybe parents who don't play games very often. So lighter games, but accessible both in terms of theme and just general play, right? So not necessarily just light games, but like games that are perfect for a broader family setting. So, Chris, what do you have?
Well, I have a game that I think plays well with a large group. This is going to be a 3-6 player game. It's a trick-taking game. It's from Bezier Games. It's Rebel Princess, the Deluxe Edition, because everything has to be the Deluxe Edition these days. So, taking all of the classic princesses, so you got Snow White, Little Mermaid, Cinderella, and other people, these legendary princesses are having a party, and of course, Prince Charming's and such, who have not been invited, try to infiltrate the ball, and they're trying to propose marriage to all these wondrous princesses. The princesses want nothing to do with this. They want to stay single and independent. So you are playing a trick-taking game in the style of Hearts, and over 5 rounds, which represents the 5 days of the party, each round has a special rule. So typical trick taking where you have to follow the trick, and sometimes you want to win, sometimes you want to lose based upon what's out there. These have those special rules which change things up, which is really cool and fun. And as you're going through them, you're dealing with 4 different suits. It's not too many suits. It's not crazy. It's not cat in a box kind of situation. And again, that's good for some people, but not generally for kind of a family taking kind of situation. And your objective here is not to get Prince Charming symbols. You're not trying to get married here. You're trying to stay strong and independent, and you're trying to avoid the marriage proposal. And of course, you're trying to avoid the Enchanted Frog because he's trying to marry you as well, too. So at the end of the game, the player who has the fewest marriage proposals after 5 rounds wins. And again, the artwork here is pretty amazing. Like, it's beautiful, gorgeous, dynamic artwork. Bezier Games does a great job as far as productions are concerned. And again, this is something that plays a lot of people at the table, and it's accessible for the younger people. But again, any age can kind of sit down and play this game. It's a simple trick-taking game. You got to follow the trick. You got to follow the symbol. And you ideally want to avoid the marriage symbols on there. So a little strategy. Obviously, one of those games that's very easy to learn. I know how to play hearts. I'm not as big of a trick-taking person, but this is a game that really fits a lot of people.
Yeah, great. I love the theme. That's such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on my end, I'm going to recommend Harmonies, which presumably you've all heard of at this point. It was one of the hottest games of the year. I think it's the highest-ranked game that came out this year on BoardGameGeek. For good reason. This is a abstract game in which you are drafting sets of tiles that allow you to build different types of habitats on your little player board. So you can build trees, you can build fields, you can build rivers, you can build towns and villages and mountains. And then you're going to have different cards with animals that will correspond to these different types of things. So you might have a card that's like a panther, and the panther wants to be in a field that's next to trees in a certain symbol. And when every time you create that pattern on your board, you take a token off of that card, and you're going to score more points at the end of the game. So it's this very clever, interesting, abstracted little game that at the very basic level is simple enough. You take three things, you place them somewhere on your personal board, you're trying to build these patterns. But the more complex it gets, the more you can kind of extract from that. It is fantastic. It's perfect for like a family setting. You could play it with kids up down to like 7 or 8 years old, and they definitely understand it. If you're not sure about it and you want to try it out before you gift it to somebody, it's also available on Board Game Arena, which is great. So Harrison talked about this game a little bit last week, mm-hmm. As a game that like was out of print for a while, and then they printed a ton of them, and now it's pretty easy to find, which is awesome because it's the perfect Christmas gift. It's like $30 and just one of the best games of the year, hands down. So highly recommended from my end. Like, it made my top 100 list after, you know, a handful of plays, and I've played it a bunch more since. So I've had a lot of fun playing this with my kids as well. So Harmonies, great family game for this year.
Yeah, and a really great art style too for an abstract game.
So pretty. Like, they could have just made it so bland. They could just have pictures of animals.
Yes.
It could have been Ark Nova, right? and they got this like really cool, abstract, almost Dixit-style artwork.
Mm-hmm.
It's so pretty to look at.
Yeah, I still haven't played that yet. That and Cascadia, like there's those kind of the abstract nature games. I have to do like an abstract nature game day.
Right. I think you might like this one better, just in general, because it feels more like a tableau builder, like the way you place things.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's a little less abstract than Cascadia.
Very cool.
All right, next category, I'm just going to say up front, I have nothing for this category. I legit played zero party games this year. Like, uh-huh. I looked through my list. I went all the way back through all of 2024. I'm like, I played zero party games. So, Chris, you got to carry this one. Party games, what do you recommend?
Well, what Anthony's saying is that he wants to be invited to some parties.
Right? Please. I like games.
So during the holiday season, think about Anthony. Think about parties and make that happen.
Yeah, and you'll invite me and I'll come over and I'll be like, ugh, you're playing party games? Come on.
You got to put that on the invite, man.
Yeah.
Anthony's like, I'm playing a games for the holidays, a nice party game with friends. Like, what is that, TI4?
Yeah, TI4, that's my party game. Play Twilight Imperium 4, and then I'm going to PAX to play, like, the heaviest UV game I can find, you know?
There you go. All right, well, I got to play some party games. Some fun, interesting, dynamic kind of things. So, first up, a holiday game, so to speak. Not the Christmas holidays, but this is more of a Halloween kind of holiday game. This is from Big Potato Games. It's called Ghosts Can't Draw. I don't know if you knew that, Anthony.
They can't?
They cannot draw.
Well, I guess they can't hold the pencil, right?
That's the fun part of it. You know the Ouija board where they have that puck that everyone puts their hands on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this game has that. The planchette, I think it's called. Okay. So basically, there's a ghost, it's ghost-shaped planchette, and there's a pen in the middle, and it's on like in a dry erase board, and you have this dry erase marker in the ghost. Everyone closes their eyes, puts their hands on the planchette. I think it's planchette. I'm hopefully not turning it Italian. and whoever is the ghost, and that's secret, right? Whoever's the ghost is trying to move their hands along with everybody else to make this mysterious drawing that's based upon the word that they have their clue. Now, of course, everyone's eyes are closed, including the ghost, and that puck is blocking also the sight. So when I play party games, the best part of party games is when things do not work. And while you're playing Telestrations or you're playing Pictionary, when the drawing doesn't look like a thing, that's when things are fun. Yeah. So, of course, you're going to get a weird doodle of a thing that the person's trying to do, but also you have kind of like a deduction game here because they're trying to like secretly steer it but not give away who they are. So basically everybody else tries to guess who's the ghost, scores points for that. Then everyone plays their tokens, their ghost tokens, on a selection of words, one of which is the actual image that's being drawn. The ghost can score points for that as well, as well as the people there. So a very small box game, very simple concept, but fun. Because again, you got weird Pictionary kind of drawing, you got some deduction gaming, and you got some Ouija board play going out there. And it's all fun and simple and cartoony and a pretty good time.
That sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, party games being what they are. But,
yeah. You got to go for, when you play a party game, you got to go all the way. Like you just got to, it's got to be a thing.
Right.
This one might be good for Anthony. This is called Bomb Busters. This is another new game from this year. And this game's all about players defusing bombs. And again, really cutesy animal artwork here, like fun, cutesy, cartoony animal artwork. And you do this by trying to cut unseen wires from each player. So basically, there's a longer version to this. There's 66 missions. And basically, the 66 missions start from very simple to very complex. And there's some oddities in there as well. And basically, what the game comes down to is you have to be able to cut all the blue wires. Now, there's also yellow wires and red wires, and they come into play more because they're more dangerous in the game. And each player has a board with all their wires set up sequentially. And then you as a player are going to be able to give a very simple clue based on a number of like, I have a number 3, it's over here. Everyone else has to try to assume, you know, how many of that number you have, because there's 4 of each number. And then at that point, you're going to select a number and pick a player. And ideally, you both have the matching number. If you do, you get to cut those wires. And eventually, if all 4 or some sort of combination of 4, those numbers go out. So basically, from 1 to 12, you want to be able to deduce what everyone else has by those clues. So it's got kind of a Hanabi situation to it, as far as giving clues based upon what you have. I mean, obviously, you know what you have. It's not pure Hanabi here. But getting those numbers off your board by coordinating with other people, because this is a cooperative game. As that goes on, you'll gain special techniques and abilities that are going to help you do that as well. Each time you get something wrong, the clock kind of ticks down, and you could all blow up and lose the game. So what's really cool about this game is you can play the simpler missions, or you can move more complex based upon the players that you have at the table. You don't have to play all 66. There are different challenges. Things get harder, of course, as the game goes on, but has a lot of value. Really cute, adorable little game with that kind of pressure mechanic that goes along with that. So that is Bomb Busters.
Cute.
Yeah.
Hayashi, too.
I know, right?
Yeah. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I'll get some of these games in next year. I can talk about
it. If someone invites you, man.
I know. If there's no solo mode, it ain't happening.
Aww.
That's why I put the solo category next.
So okay.
We can just move on and I can feel happy again.
There you go.
Solo games. So you have a gamer in your life. They are not invited to parties like myself. What are they going to do with their time? They're going to play a game solo. And so these are games that could be played 100% on your own and are designed to be that way. Because these days, most games are designed, you know, except the party games. Most games have a solo mode built in, especially if they're coming off of crowdfunding. So The solo games that came out this year, there's a bunch of interesting stuff. Chris, what do you have?
Oh, well, I have a new game that's kind of a throwback to an old game. Basically, still a holiday game, but more in Halloween version. It's Witchcraft.
I know I said holiday gift guy, but you're getting the holidays wrong.
Well, it's close enough, right? Because Christmas comes earlier and early this year.
That's true.
So that
That's
means
true.
Halloween lingers longer and longer this year.
It kind of does. My pumpkins are still out front, and I put up my Christmas lights, so it's got both going on at the same time.
You're having a very confusing holiday season. I can see that.
Yeah, true.
So, Witchcraft, which is a re-implementation of Resist. Both games have an exclamation point. So, this is a really kind of... Both games are awesome, by the way. And Resist, you can actually play on Board Game Arena. So if you want to check out that solo game, you can check that out there. Witchcraft, the new version here, I think is a little bit better just because what you're doing here is you're trying to convince these different townspeople who have persuasion over the town as far as like trying to get rid of the witches. So you're going to play these cards that have double sections on the same card, big chunky cards. And there's a reveal section and there's a hidden section. Both sections typically have a special power, not always. Both sides have a power value. And basically what you're going to be doing is utilizing the special abilities to deal with the different threats to those particular missions and areas of the town, as well as lending your power, whether it's revealed or hidden, to tackle that mission to gain special abilities or to avoid bad stuff that happens. So you're fighting monsters that are messing with the town. You're trying to up your persuasion with these townspeople. And then at a certain point, you get a sense of where do you feel like you're at, because the more that you reveal your witches, the more they get jailed. So you lose cards as things go on. And there's also curses that kind of like muddle up your deck a little bit as well. So it's a really cool, I would say, deck builder, because there's like an initial draft to it. But basically, it's the set of cards that you become available to you. And then you have to decide hidden actions or revealed actions. And they come back around again and again. And you strategically making your place to certain areas, not knowing or hopefully being able to reveal what the power of those persuasion is for those different townspeople. Really great solo game, nice artwork, and whether you play Witchcraft or Resist, you're going to have a fun time.
I have Witchcraft. I've been meaning to play this. I really got to get to the table, but it's a great choice.
Thank you. That says a lot coming from the solo gamer, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic. And Resist is very good. So, like, Witchcraft is, you know, that's why I have it.
Yeah. And check out, like I said, check out Resist. It's on Board Game Arena. So you can play for free.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So mine is a bit heavier, a bit longer. So this is for the solo gamer in your life who likes historical stuff, long stuff, lots of reading. You know, so me and, like, Dave, maybe? I don't know. this is I, Napoleon. So I talked about this a few weeks ago in one of my, well, I guess a long time ago at this point, in one of my acquisition disorders. But this is a new game from GMT Games, and it is still available. I double checked. You can buy this for somebody if you're interested in doing so. They have a second edition. It is one player only, and it is described as a solitaire historical role-playing card game. So it is a game in which you are playing through the life of Napoleon, starting all the way back, you know, in 1793, just after the French Revolution. And Napoleon's kind of working his way up all the way to his many possible endpoints, including his actual endpoint. And it has like the card driven system that you see in a lot of like GMT games, but it is you're playing it by yourself. It is a role-playing game. You're role-playing as Napoleon, working your way through all these potential different things. So as you draw from these different decks, they're going to have all these potential effects, right? So you could have, you know, and there's a lot of acronyms. There's a lot of modifiers and ongoing effects. Like, you have to kind of like the war game style of play. So if you've never played a GMT game, if you've never played a war game, or the person you're buying from hasn't, I would not recommend getting this for them. But if it is somebody like that, like maybe your dad or something, and they're like really into this type of historical stuff, and they like reading through rule books that are, you know, outlined like technical instruction guides. I Napoleon is fantastic. It's a game I haven't had a chance to talk about yet on the podcast, but I've really, really enjoyed it. Have not done super well with it, but it has a feel to it where it doesn't really matter how well you do, because you have a different story that comes out of it each time. Setup is relatively light. The rulebook for a GMT game is not terribly overwhelming, and it's just a fun way to learn about history. I really hope they do more of these. I imagine it was a lot of work to build, but even like if this just becomes a new system that GMT produces games in, I think we could see a lot of really interesting, like FDR or Churchill or whatever. Like, it's a cool way to explore kind of these historical settings. And it's just a really fantastic way, unique new take on the games. So I Napoleon, check it out. Great solo game, big, heavy, long war style. Know that before you buy it for somebody, but if that's the right fit, it is definitely a good game for that.
Excellent. And it's got the eye in there, so you know it's a solo game.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And you are Napoleon, right?
Nobody else.
It's just you. Yeah, there's nothing, you're destroying stuff, but whatever. It's all abstract.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's fine.
All right. Speaking of destroying stuff, we got two-player games. Mm-hmm. So maybe you have a friend, a significant other, they like games, you like games, maybe you, whatever. And you want to get a game for yourself and for them, right? Hey, here's a gift that I can play with you. So every year there's a lot of really good two-player games. I think this year there's just a ridiculous number of them.
Sure.
So we both picked games, I think, that are relatively accessible in a lot of ways. So I'll like go ahead and let you go first.
Yeah. So do you want to destroy a friend at the table?
Heck yeah. That's two player games, man.
Yeah. It's always weird that two player games are always super cutthroat competitive.
I know.
Why is that? Like,
you know, that's like, I just remember that when we played, what was it? Fox in the Forest Duet. And it was like the only time I think I've had this experience of like, this is pleasant and we're working together. And
why are more games like that?
I know there's a few others that do that, but like big ones, not so much. Most two-player games, you're just trying to murder each other.
Yeah, I think the ones that are not are really few and far between, and they're the kind of standouts. Like, there was a Fog of Love.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we held hands, like the romantic kind of stuff. So, romance or death, that's clearly the what we're going for.
And certainly not, you're not going to get romance with like these themes.
No.
The fun themes that we want, these are going to be death.
Yeah. So first up is a game that hit my top 100. Not a lot of new games actually did hit my top 100 this year. This is The Lord of the Rings Duel for Middle Earth. It came out this year. This is a re-implementation of Seven Wonders Duel, one of my favorite games of all time. Definitely up there. This is from Repro Production. And our boys, Anton Baza and Bruno Cathala. Once again, Seven Wonders Duel, phenomenal, period. Walk out. Just drop the game and walk out. Like, it's fine. And you could certainly purchase that for a friend or a loved one or somebody you want to destroy at the table. But what if you didn't want to have to deal with all that counting? And, like, look, it's just like a number here and... Oh, you have two woods, so this is this much more expensive. And, oh, you got so many blue points, you have to count those up. But, oh, the guilds. Oh, you got to count up the guilds now. Don't worry about that. How about having the race of your life? How about having a game where the military track is a significant part of the situation here? But it's not your traditional military track. Actually, it's an area control game that's happening on the board. At the same time, you also have the chase for the ring. And that kind of dynamic is also happening at this at the very same time. And then, instead of the kind of science, generic kind of thing, it's the building of alliances, whoever's able to build the alliances on their side. What's really cool about this is those three dynamics are so present to you each and every moment along the way. When you play Seven Wonders Duel, you're like, I'm going to do military. I'm going to do science, and then maybe I'll have to peek over, make sure I'm not losing one or the other. This, everything's in play. Everything's possible. Everything's dangerous. Everything's dynamic. And it reminds me of Queen's Gambit, which is a now out of print game. It's a grail game for a lot of us out there. I think our friend Dave has a copy of it. And that game is very similar, right? You have a space battle, you have a ground battle, and you have the Jedi's battling. So the idea of keeping your eyes on three things that are happening at the same time, which just amplifies every card play, is a lot of fun. And a really great game. So, Lords of the Rings. You could watch the movie this year. Go see the movie that's coming out, the animation movie. Is it War of the Rohirrim? Am I correct on that?
Rohirrim, right?
Yeah, something like that.
It's Tolkien.
It's a Tolkien movie that's coming out around Christmas. Go see it.
Yeah, it's anime too, which is great. I didn't know it was anime until I saw the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what? It's anime? It's great.
They did a thing. Duel for Middle Earth. Great game.
Yeah, that's awesome. This would have been my pick, except I knew that you would pick it.
So I would have picked
like,
it.
Okay, yeah. I'll pick a different one that I also like. Lord of the Rings, Duel for Middle-Earth, fantastic. On the same front, a game of destruction where I have destroyed my son many times to the point where it's hard to get him to play.
I wonder why.
you know, the problem is he's just old enough that I can't just let him win, yeah. Right? Like, he's like 7, 8 years old. I'm like, you're not just going to destroy him. He's 13. I'm like, man, I can't just let you win.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been playing card games since I was his age, younger than his age. So I'm like, I got 30 years on him in these games. I'm like, I'm pretty good at card games, but he's also very good. We get very close, but he gets mad.
Mm-hmm.
This is Star Wars Unlimited, by the way. So two-player card game. Obviously, it's a collectible card game. So we have that going against it. But it is one of the better collectible card games to come out in the last, I would say, 10 years. It's accessible. It's simple. It has, you know, the obvious delineation between Empire and Rebellion, but the game doesn't force you to stick to that. It's really based around these different affinities within the different factions. You can build your deck however you want. So you have, you know, you have mercenaries, you have bounty hunters, you have smugglers, you have the recent set that just came out, Twilight of the Republic, is focused on the Clone Wars. So I have the new two-player starter set for that. I'm going to be playing with him soon. So it is a fantastic two-player game, and they've done a really good job of making these two-player starter sets good games. And this is like one of those things that a lot of CCGs fail at. They're like, here's a two-player starter set. It's terrible. Go buy some boosters to make it better. I'm like, okay, eh. Or even worse, like Lorcana didn't have a two-player starter set. You had to buy two separate starter decks. So it was like $30-something, and they're still kind of bad. So, this is tuned and built to be competitive against each other in a way that's interesting. So I have all three sets of these like two-player starter sets for the three sets of Star Wars Unlimited that have come out. And we have fun with all of them. And all the decks are different and we can mix and match them now. I've bought a handful of boosters, but not that many. And I really have played the heck out of this game so far. So if you have somebody in your life who loves Star Wars, if you have a kid who likes card games, if you're like trying to scratch that, you know, old CCG itch and are looking for something new, Star Wars Unlimited is fantastic. Highly recommended. Not recommending you go buy a bunch of boosters because that's expensive. You know, do it if you want to, but that's not what I'm saying. But I have had a ton of fun with just like the three $25 starter sets so far.
It's the cheapest CCG you're going to get into at this point.
Yeah, as long as you don't go buy the boosters, which is crazy, and they're expensive, and you know there's a lot of really good cards, but you really only need that if you want to be competitive. You can play the game with what they give you, and it's so much fun.
Well, it's nice to be able to go and say, let's play a CCG, and be able to play a CCG.
Right, yeah, it almost gives me like an LCG feeling, except every month, instead of every month, you're getting one every 3 months, which is fine. Like, I will buy the new starter sets every 3 or 4 months and we'll be happy because those are new cards every few months. And it's perfect for my family.
Sounds great.
All right. Next up, we have our trifecta of light, medium, and heavy. So we're going to talk about games that are kind of fit into these nebulous categories, according to Board Game Geek. So lighter games, things that are around a 2 or lower, medium games, kind of from that 2 to 3.2, 3.5, and then heavy games above that, right? We'll kick it off with light games. What you got?
Well, I have Trekking the World 2nd Edition. This came out this year from Underdog Games. This is a game you and I, Anthony, have played the first edition previously and greatly enjoyed it. And now they have a redesign of the game itself. Also comes with a solo mode, which I know you're a big fan of. And basically, if you have not played this game before, you are traveling throughout the globe in order to have the greatest time in these different destinations and picking up a bunch of different souvenirs throughout. So what you're basically going to be able to do is you're going to pick an itinerary that's going to be able to give you some money in the game. And if you happen to be at that particular continent, you're going to gain a souvenir of that particular type to put on your board. Your board's going to have a number of different activations that allow you to have additional movement, additional souvenirs, double your money, double a whole bunch of different things in the game. Now, as you're traveling around and taking that movement and that money, if you're in the particular location of that city, you'll have an opportunity to pay the money for a particular tour that's going to score you the vast majority of victory points in the game. Now, if you're able to do that, awesome, take that tour. If you're not, but maybe you're in a location that has an opportunity to gain a special ability from visiting that area, you can use that special ability at any time during the game based upon what that particular card says. So all of these different tour cards are double-sided. So it gives you a lot more opportunities to either score points or, if you're in that location, gain a special ability. You travel around, you gain a whole bunch of different unique kind of attractions together, scoring points for that as well. And it's a good time. It's a 2.0 on BGG, probably a little bit easier than that, but it's really a quick, fun, light strategy game to get to the table.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I have this one as well. Looking forward to talking about it in a couple of weeks, actually, when we kind of do a deeper dive on the review.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On my end, also at a 2.0 on Board Game Geek is Cities. This is a recent release from Devir Games, designed by Steve Finn and Phil Walker Harding. Both of them big names in gaming. Both of them generally designing lightish games. So the thing that attracted me about the game was just a really cool artwork. It's just got a really nice, colorful cover with like all these different cities kind of mushed together around a body of water. It is a worker placement type of game in which you are taking your workers over the course of 8 rounds and you are placing them onto different possible locations on this main board to collect things that you put into your tableau. The thing about the game is you can only place a certain number of workers on each of these types of things. You're going to get the same number of items every round. You're going to get one scoring card. You're going to get one city tile. You're going to get one or two feature tiles because some spots have two, and you're going to get two or four building pieces because, again, some spaces have two. And so it's really just a matter of like which things you want most. And it's worker placement, but it's really kind of a draft in terms of like how you grab these things. When you grab those things, though, you're going to place them into your tableau with the cards off to the side, and you're trying to build out these different patterns to match the scoring cards that you've collected. So you're trying to, you know, turn this personal player board into this city that matches these scoring objectives that you're kind of collecting throughout the game. So it's a tableau builder. It's a drafting game. It's very simple because at any time you only have a couple of options to choose from, but you're trying to maximize the value of the actions you take within that space. So it's the perfect light game in that the thing you're doing is very straightforward, but the emergence in complexity it's much bigger if you want it to be. It's classic Phil Walker Harding. Cities, great little game.
Really nice.
All right. Next up is the medium stuff. What you got?
All right. Well, I got two fun games. Great, super great productions. First up is Harvest. This is from Keymaster Games. And this is a fun little game where you take the role of a farmer that's an animal on top of which, cartoony animal on top of which, and you are farming your land, producing all these wonderful vegetables and building up the town to give you special abilities and victory points throughout the game. And it's a worker placement game. You have a little wheelbarrow kind of meeples that go out there on the board. And what I really like about this is it's a very tight focus game. You have your own little player board to build up your town, but also to, and I love that they do this because it feels very Agricola-like. You are planting seeds. You are fertilizing seeds. You are watering the seeds, and then you're harvesting the fruits and vegetables in this game. So it's fun in kind of like that thematic play style. And then your particular farmer has a special unique ability that they'll be able to use throughout the game. And then at the start of each round, there'll be opportunities to take one of these kind of like starting tiles. So that will determine player order, but it's balanced by, you know, if you go later, because again, worker placement, you always want to go first. But if you go later, you'll gain a stronger special ability than if you go sooner. And that special ability might really tie very well together based upon what you're trying to do for your particular harvest or how you're building up your town. And again, when you're building up your town, you have to cut down the forest and to be able to build the special buildings that are going to give you special abilities and victory points at the end of the game. So it's got a relatively cartoony look, but it's a very well done, condensed worker placement game at the table without being super over dramatic and, you know, several hours to play. But the production is really top notch. Your artwork is really cute. And this is also another game you can play on Board Game Arena if you want to check it out. That's Harvest. The next up is a little bit of a heavier game. This is from Mind Clash Games. This is Septima. Talking about holidays, we're going back to Halloween. We did our top 100, people.
Oh my gosh, dude.
We did our top 100, okay?
It's almost like you want to go back to before November. I don't know why.
I can't imagine why. So Septima is about, it's a competitive game. And it's about the world of witchcraft and all of these very good witches, very cool witches out there. The Septima, the leader of all the witches, is basically retiring, going on, and she's seeking to choose her successor. And you are a witch that is dealing with healing people, providing services and resources for them, while at the same time avoiding the witch hunters and dealing with the witch trials. So there is a lot of good that you're trying to do while dealing with all the bad that's happening around at the same time. This is a Mind Clash game. It's the production's top notch. The artwork is amazing. And it is not a heavy game. They consider it their lighter, one of their lighter games in their collection, like the light kind of Euro game in their collection. And it is. It's lighter. You're putting together potions by gathering different items throughout the town and throughout the forest. It just looks big and crunchy. It's a really well-meaning game. It has a lot of expansions if you picked up the Kickstarter like I did, which does add to the complexity. But a straight game, it's a medium weight game, Septima.
All right. You still got to teach me that one. We talked about it. Get on it. All right. I have two as well. The first one is Slay the Spire. This one made my list, my top 100 list, a couple weeks ago at number 11. And it is a very fantastic re-implementation of the Slay the Spire video game as a board game. Now it's cooperative. So the mechanics of the game, there's a lot in the box. It's a big box, you know, relatively expensive considering it's a medium-ish weight game. But the mechanics are fairly simple, right? You're trying to punch the other guy harder than he punches you, right? So that's, you're building up attack and you're building up defense on any given turn, just try to survive and then hit back. But the cool thing here about this game is that it is cooperative, so you are working together to take out all of the different enemies that are facing you and your teammates, and that really creates a new dynamic for the game. Now, we talked about this last week a little bit with Corey and Harrison. This is a new and interesting way to approach Slay the Spire, and you know, the video game is still fantastic. It's an all-timer, but the board game now really fits in that same space. And it's perfect as a medium weight game because I can teach this to people in like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, less if they know Slay the Spire, because I'm like, this is all the same. This is all the same. These numbers are different, right? But even if they don't know the game at all, it is fairly straightforward. Here's your guy. Here's your health. Here's your energy. Here's how it works. You're building a deck, and now you're doing this, right? So just a fantastic medium weight game that just really flows. The second game I wanted to mention and recommend is a little bit more whimsical, less fighting, because, you know, all these games are fighting. And that is Windmill Valley. So this is a game that I have not had a chance to review yet. I've played it several times in the last few weeks. It is the new game from Danny Garcia, who designed Barcelona, which made it onto both yours and my top 100 lists. Fantastic game. And it is about running windmills and producing tulips in 19th century Holland. So it's just a quaint, colorful, very colorful, beautiful game. Seriously, like when Board and Dice decided to make prettier games, they really just went all in on it. They're like, games are pretty now. Like, cool. Good job, guys.
It's a new vibe.
Yeah, yeah. We love the new vibe. So you have like these the wheels that are kind of out there that are turning. Each player has these that kind of represent the windmills themselves. You're getting these different tiles that go into the windmills and they kind of turn and give you different abilities. Your action selection mechanic based on the windmill and how it turns is so interesting. There's a whole board in which you're moving around and you're collecting different types of tulips, or recruiting different materials for your own personal farm. And ultimately what you're doing is you're filling in this little grid of different tulips to try to score points. So it is a point scoring game and it's like a thing collection game, but it's just really cute and fun the way it works. And it's just the colors really pop. It looks like there's a lot going on when you look at it on the table. There's really not. This game is lighter than Barcelona. I would not consider this a heavy game. It's, I think, on Board Game Geek, a 2.9 or so, which I think is perfect. I think it's in that sweet spot right below a 3, where you can teach it relatively quickly. It plays in less than an hour and a half. And it's just a fun, different theme than we see from a lot of, you know, other Euro games. You're not buying and selling these tulips. You're collecting them. You know, I'm sure you are buying and selling them, but it's just not what it feels like. You know, you're not out on the ocean doing trader stuff. You're in the little the farms and hills of Holland, which is cute.
Very nice.
Windmill Valley, wonderful little game. All right, and now the heavy stuff. What you got on the big end?
Well, on the big end, I'm bringing a game that I recently backed, got to the table. You and I played a couple times. This is Unconscious Mind from Fantasia Games. It rates about a 3.92 on BGG, and it's crunchy, man. It's a crunchy game. And basically, we're talking about the start of psychoanalysis with Sigmund Freud and his contemporaries working towards understanding people's psychological disorders, how to treat them through dream analysis, how to get personally inspired by their colleagues, by the city of Vignetta, and all of the wonderful things that that go on there. And as you deal with your clients, patients, and you are doing writings that are collecting all this information that you're learning, you're being able to chain a lot of really cool Euro mechanics together in a worker placement situation with a little bit of a rondel. And it's very thematic. You're dealing with people's trauma. You get to pull off this plastic overlay. And then you have these beautiful Dixit-like dream cards that are basically the machine in which produces therapeutic outcomes for the patients. When you do that and the patients are cured, air quotes here, then the patients will lend a special ability for you during the game or in the end game. So a lot of ways to kind of gain points throughout this game. It has a very nice flow once you get into it, and a lot of opportunities for different victory paths. So it's Unconscious Mind.
Great game. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of fun with that. Looking forward to playing it again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right. My big game, my heavy game, is one that I talked about way, way back at the beginning of the year. This one came out in January, I believe. Sankore, the Pride of Mansa Musa. This is a 4.12 on Board Game Geek, and that feels accurate, and not necessarily because it's super complicated, but because it's relatively abstracted and there's a lot of things that feed into other things. It feels like a Vital Lacerda game in the best possible way, right? It's designed by Fabio Lopiano, working with Mandala Fernandez Grandon, and it has Ian O'Toole artwork, so it has a lot of the same vibe and look as Merv, Heart of the Silk Road, But it is significantly heavier than Merv, right? It's a lot. It's also fairly long. I would say it's a good three and a half hour game. And so what you're doing in the game is you are managing the University of Sankore, which was built in Timbuktu back in the 14th century by Mansa Musa, the emperor at the time. And the goal was to build the greatest university in the world and to spread knowledge throughout Africa. And so that's what you're doing, right? So you are collecting different scholars, you are developing different abilities and collecting books, and you're also going out on the map and trying to spread the knowledge that you've developed. And every single thing you do feeds into something else you do, right? So each of the different disciplines and each of the different actions that you can take is directly or indirectly related to another action you can take in kind of this like circular motion. So when you take an action, it's going to require that you have taken a different action, which will require that you've taken a different action. And like everything feeds into each other, which is very Lacerda-like. So there's no like, I'm going to go over there and get some money. It's like, well, you can't go over there until you've done this. Okay, well, I'm going to do that then. Well, you can't do that until you've done this other thing, right? And that's where the weight and the complexity comes in, is you have to keep like four or five actions in your head at a time of what you want to accomplish. And then on top of that, you are collecting different tiles and you're, you know, completing different objectives on the map. The scoring is really tight and interesting because it's based on a specific subset of actions you take during the game. And those subset of actions are only available if you take these other available actions. So you're not scoring for everything you do. You're scoring for the outcomes of all the things you do. So just a fascinating, fascinating game. It's heavy. It's complicated. The reason I put this on the list over other games like Innovation, it's another big, heavy game that came out this year, is that you can get this game on Amazon for about $65. So if you want to get a big, heavy, beautiful, pretty game for a friend, Sankore is affordable. It's accessible. And it is super heavy. So it covers all those bases.
Very nice, my friend. Very nice.
All right. Expansions.
What?
Yeah, we're getting into the fun stuff here. So every year, a bunch of expansions come out. We buy a bunch of them because we own all these games already. So what expansions do you buy for a friend? This is a tricky gift. I would not buy an expansion for anybody unless I'd already talked to them and I knew they didn't have it. Because if your friend is the type of person who wants an expansion for a game, then they're probably going to get it. So these are expansions that add something interesting to the games. Maybe we don't know that exist, or that are a little more expensive or harder to find. But like that would be a thoughtful gift for someone who has a love for a game that they're already playing. Chris, what is your expansion of choice for the gift guide?
Well, I guess spoilers for episode 500. My number one game of all time, top 100, was Hegemony. And Hegemony is a great game because it allows you to play an epic game that's at the same time four separate games. Everyone's playing an asymmetric faction, a social class, and they all have their different dynamics and victory point conditions and special abilities. And yet at the same time, they do still have to play somewhat cooperatively, because if the entire system falls, everyone's in bad shape. Now, very cool. But what if you wanted to kind of take that base game and just up it in two really important ways? You'd want to pick up the Crisis and Control expansion. This is the Path to Rule the Nation. Now, primarily, you are absolutely positively going to pick this up because this is a big game, crunchy, large game. And since you do have to learn the different different factions and plays, one of the best ways to do that is by playing it solo. So this expansion has the Automa or Automas in this game. So you'll have an opportunity to learn the game by playing through the Automas. It's a very smart, great Automa to play through, and it teaches you the game and you're in really good shape. Because again, this is a long game. It's a big game. It's hard to get to the table sometimes. So giving you that option is fantastic, essential expansion for that. In addition to that, there's smaller expansions modules that come along with this. There's the Crisis expansion that allows you, and again, without getting too deeply, but if you are playing the government faction, you want to be able to play the Crisis response because it's a little more dynamic and lets you do more as the government. There's also alternative events that allows, again, the government and the different players to do some different things. So if you played the base game and you're a little burnt out on this, these new events really provide a lot of fun. And finally, the part that I really like here is there's hidden agendas. This is something that's often overlooked in expansions. I would highly recommend playing with the hidden agendas, even if it's your first game, because sometimes you want to have a particular path or strategy to go down. And if this is your first time playing the game, you may not have or have an understanding or direction. This actually gives you that. So having these hidden agendas really helps you focus the game a little bit more and provide some more action cards into the game. So Crisis Control, if you love hegemony and you want to add either solo to it or more dynamics to the different play style, this is a great little tiny expansion.
Great. Awesome. Mine is an older game that got an expansion this year, Gaia Project, which came out back in 2017 and was a sci-fi space version of Terra Mystica, which originally came out back in 2013. And this is a big box expansion. It's relatively expensive for, you know, expansions as they go. It's like $50.
Mm-hmm.
And it adds a lot of stuff to Gaia Project. So this is for somebody who has Gaia Project, loves Gaia Project, maybe doesn't get to the table as much anymore, or just wants a new way to kind of like mix it up. So you're getting four new factions with two new planet types. You're getting new map layouts, which is huge because the game, it's modular maps, but there are set layouts to how you can build it. There are new smaller sector tiles, which allow for different types of planets, as well as different interactions with the map. The thing about the Gaia Project map is there are a lot of empty spots on it, which is on purpose to kind of make you spread out and use your QIC, but it also creates kind of gaps in the play, and this fills that a little bit. There are lost fleet ships, which now give you access to new action spaces, technologies, technology tiles, new Federation tokens. You only can take the QIC actions on the ships, which is really interesting, so you don't have standard actions anymore. You have to go out and use them, which is very cool. There are new tech tiles, new round boosters, new scoring tiles. It just adds new everything to the game. And a little bit of balancing on, in terms of the factions, too, because like any good Terra Mystica game and Terra Mystica family game, it's not super balanced. Some things are a little off. So, yeah, it just makes everything about Gaia Project a little bit better and adds a couple new things and ways to play the game if you want to throw new modules in there. But even if you don't want to throw the new modules in there, you just have a lot of new stuff to play with. And that's great. So Gaia Project, we got the Lost Fleet. Check it out if you're a big Gaia Project fan or if you know somebody in your life who would benefit from that.
Excellent.
All right. Last up here, every year we do our accessory choices. So fun things that elevate the games you already have or your friends do. These are great gifts because most people don't buy these for themselves. I say most because some of us do, but how can you help your friends upgrade, augment, improve, beautify their gaming experience? These are some recommendations.
Yeah, so a lot of us out there are a big fan of Everdell. It's this beautiful little game with these little woodland creatures that are building up their little mini civilization. And one of the most challenging things about the game itself is it has this really cool centerpiece. It's got this wooden tree in which you lay the cards out, you put the meeples on, and then inevitably one small touch and things start tumbling down. Now, Everdell from Starling Games have come out with an official upgrade product. It's a wooden tree. It looks very similar, almost as far as artwork is concerned, as the initial tree that comes in the game, but this is made out of durable, supposedly quality wood, comes in five pieces, so you can put it actually in the box, and because that's made of wood, you don't have to worry about everything falling down. Now, I'm not to say that it's still the best way to display your cards and your meeples, but now if you do want to have the tree in there, if you do want to have that thematic kind of gameplay where you could hold the cards and everything and have everything out there, you do not need to worry. So it's on Miniature Market, about $30.
It's such a cool tree. Mm-hmm. Yep. I have a couple things that I want to recommend. First up, there are these very cool meeple stickers that you can add to your root pieces.
Mm-hmm.
These are up on Etsy, so I'll put the link in the show notes. But it's a meeple sticker upgrade pack. And unlike a lot of stuff on Etsy, it's relatively affordable. It's like $13. So, you know, sometimes you go to Etsy, you're like, cool, upgrades, $53. No, thank you. but this adds, you know, the game has grown. There's a whole, you know, ecosystem around Root now where these characters, they have character, right? Mm-hmm. So like the little flat beeples, just like with the little eyes drawn in, that's not enough. We want the sticker on them. This is a fun way to upgrade all your meeples. And then the other one, which I just got in the mail, actually, because I backed this on Kickstarter a while ago, is the Obsession Metal Coins. And these are available on the Kayenta Games website. So they are $25 and you get two bags of coins. I believe they're 10s and 20s or 5s and 10s. I don't remember. But they are these beautiful metal coins with the visage of Queen Victoria on one side. And it's just a perfect little upgrade for a game that feels so thematic. I don't always feel like you need metal coins in a game. I think a lot of times they're superfluous. I think in this game it really works because it feels like a piece of that time. Just fantastic. Also, they're relatively inexpensive. Sometimes these things are stupid. And you can buy them directly from the publisher. And Dan Halligan in Kayenta Games is fantastic. He does right by everybody. If there's even a small problem with the campaign, he will fix it. So well worth supporting him if you have Obsession and want that little upgrade.
All right, everyone. Well, there you go. It's the holiday season, the purchasing season, the discount season, and these are some amazing games, upgrades, expansions that we definitely want you to check out and hopefully get for your friends and family at the table this year. So hopefully you enjoyed the holiday gift guide for 2024. Until next time, this is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And we'll see if you all see at the table. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.